You're listening to the We Speak Common podcast network. For more information and to support the show, head to wespeakcommon.com.
Hello and welcome to a brand new episode of the Tabletop Podcast for Everyone, because here we speak common. Brought to you in partnership with The Dice Dungeon and Describe. The Dice Dungeon is your one-stop shop for all things D&D, from premium dice sets to rolling trays and adventures. And you can use the code WESPEAKCOMMON to get 10% off your order at the Dice Dungeon right now. And if you're looking for finely crafted box techs to improve your player's immersion, head to describe.com, spelled D-S-C-R-Y-B. They've got music, scenes, monsters, magic items, maps, and more. You can get 10% off your subscription with the code COMMON at checkout. This week on Table Fables, we're talking about running deadly encounters, seeing as we've all just had a very harrowing experience with one. Welcome to We Speak Common. And welcome back to the table. As always, it's Dave. Hello.
It's me.
Hi.
It's me. Hi. I'm the problem. It's me.
It's me.
I really am the problem. That is very true. How are you? You okay?
Yeah, good. How are you?
Yeah, good. I just lowered my chair because I was knocking my table, so I'm just readjusting, feeling smaller now. There we go. Yeah, no, good, man. Good. Almost rejuvenated.
I'm not yet.
Oh, see, we played D&D on Saturday, which was 2 days ago.
Yep.
As we're recording. And I haven't run a D&D game for 4 months. Mm-hmm. And running a D&D game has filled me with the energy and life force that it stole from all of you.
Yep.
And now I feel alive again.
So what you're saying is you have truly reached Lichdom.
Correct. Yes, that's exactly what's happened.
Yeah. Great.
Yeah.
Good to know.
But I had a good time. Did you have a good time?
I did. Although after I died, it is a blur because...
Yeah, okay. Spoilers. Massive spoiler there, David. Okay, fine. We'll talk about that in a bit. I can imagine. I can imagine it was. We will get into the full on detail of all of that,
yeah.
Properly in a bit. Do you just not remember much of it then, or
I think you know what it was. I think it, after the probably the 14th hour of being awake that day, it got a bit much.
Yeah, you were putting in a shift, to be fair.
Yeah.
And we're all very grateful for it. But we'll talk about all of that very shortly.
Yeah.
How are you in life and the universe and everything?
I'm good. Yeah, I'm good. Good.
Hmm. Yeah, me too. Good. Me too. We need to. I hate saying the word announcement.
Yeah.
But we need to. We need to tell.
Talk about some things.
Tell people things. Yeah.
It sounds like, maybe that sounds like a really negative thing.
Yeah, the podcast is ending. this is the final episode.
Surprise!
Lol. No,
it's
no,
not.
No, no, no.
Don't switch off it.
No, that would be a very bad time to switch off. we are doing some things, like we're making some changes, which
yes.
I have a fear that could be seen as negative, but I promise they're all very, very good.
Yes.
So, at the moment, the way the podcast runs and the way the podcast has been running for the last, 5 years.
Long time.
Yeah. I've lost a lot of, I've aged more than 5 years. Is that we've been releasing weekly episodes, and I think we've only missed that. Like, I can count how many times we've missed a weekly episode on both hands,
mm-hmm.
which I'm very proud of. I'm very,
not bad for that amount of time.
Yeah. I'm really proud of that. There are people who've been listening who have been with the show for that long, and if that's you, then oh my god, what are you doing with your life? Why are you still listening to me talk about Dungeons and Dragons? Clearly, I've said everything by now, haven't I?
That's why we're doing all the TTRPGs.
Well, that's the thing. In those 5 years, in the last one mostly, but the last one and a half, we've introduced your show.
Yeah.
Tavern Talk, which is I think we're on, like, we're nearly at 20 episodes now, and I think over those 20 episodes, it's kind of found its feet now. I think we know what it is now, which is it's just a chat show.
It's the relaxed fit episodes.
It's a relaxed chat show where you just sit and talk shit, whereas these tend to be the more like helpful pointed ones. And I know there's a bit of a chat show vibe to these too, but yours is much more relaxed than mine.
It's definitely more, you have some information in there, but you've got to find it.
You have to work hard to take something away from those episodes, which is good. I'm glad we've got that now. And that in itself, when we first introduced them, that relieved a bit of pressure on
you mainly. Yeah.
Yeah. Not you.
Predominantly. Maybe more.
But over the course of the last few months, other things have happened. Things have evolved. Yep. And we're looking at working on some new stuff too, which we'll get into in a minute. So we made the very difficult decision to change our release schedule from weekly to fortnightly.
Yeah.
So the way that's going to work is every month you'll get two episodes of the podcast, one episode every 2 weeks on a Thursday as usual. And it will either be me hosting one of the mainline episodes or Dave hosting a Tavern Talk episode.
Yeah.
Which is, that's good.
It's good.
It's good stuff. It just takes a bit of pressure off of both of us to like plan, record, edit.
Do project work. I edit all of them.
Do all the project work. You know, get guests in that can fit in. Like there have been a few times recently when we've had really good episodes lined up and we've had to cancel them last minute because something's fallen through and we just can't get ahead.
Yeah.
We're always chasing our tails. So this just lets us get like at least an episode ahead so that we know where we are at all times and can make better content. So the way that's going to look, next week you're going to get a bonus episode, which we'll talk about later, which is fun. And that will be it. And then the following week on Thursday, the 6th of March, is it? No, is Thursday the 6th or is that Tuesday? Hang on, let me double check. The 6th, it's the 7th. 6th is Wednesday.
7th, yeah.
So Thursday the 7th of March, you'll get a Tavern Talk episode.
Yep.
Then there'll be a week off. Then you'll get a mainline episode with me. Then there'll be a week off. You'll get Tavern Talk and so on and so forth.
Yeah.
For infinitum, because we'll never die and we'll do this forever.
You're already there. You've already reached listening.
Yeah. Ye gods. So that's the main thing. That's the biggest thing. It's going fortnightly. And I hope that I know a lot of people enjoy having this show to listen to every week, but I hope that you can understand that it's getting to a point where it's not sustainable for us in our lives.
Yeah.
But we don't want to stop.
We're all very busy people. But like you said, we enjoy doing this and it's something we want to keep doing.
Yeah. And this is the thing. We want to keep doing it, but we want to put more into it. And in order to put more into it, we need less time sat in front of the microphone recording. Yeah, it's really frustrating. It's the issue I've had for the last like 3 years is that I come up with like ideas and I'm like, cool, I want to do this. But then in order to do it well, I need to like step away from the podcast and have time to do it.
But what I'm hearing is if we need like at least like, I don't know, hundreds of people joining the Patreon so we can do this as a full-time career. Is that what you're saying?
Do you know what? If for some reason we got a ridiculous amount of Patreon supporters out of nowhere, even though we haven't really given them anything to support, then things would become a lot easier. Absolutely.
That'd be great.
I mean, look, how many people have we got on the Discord server now?
That's a reasonable amount.
You know, there's a good amount in there. If everybody in the Discord server shared the podcast with five people, and one of those people turned into a regular listener, like, we double our audience. Do you know what I mean?
Then everyone just needs to join Patreon after that. And then...
Yeah, give us your money is what Dave's saying.
And then,
in a really unceremonious way.
And then two of us can do it full time.
Oh my God, what a pipe dream that would be. We need to take time away from recording to do more things. So what are the things we're going to do? Oh, I'm glad you asked, Dave.
Yes, exactly.
We're actually not going to announce a couple of them. We're going to tease them, which is the really annoying thing that people do on content creation places. But we're going to do that because they're still very in the works.
Clickbait.
Clickbait. There's a project in the works at the moment that's in the very early stages of planning. I know I've said those words before, but now that we're on fortnightly episodes, it means I can actually plan.
You know what the best part about it is when you say there's something planning, I have no idea which one you're talking about because we have a few things on the show. So I'm like,
yeah,
which one?
The one that requires being in front of a microphone.
Understood.
Yeah, that one.
Understood. So
that's in the planning, and it will come. I think if all things going according to plan, we can tell you what's coming your way in, I don't know, like 2-3 months.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe. 4 or 5 at worst. Okay. That's kind of longer. That's what I'm hoping. Like, I would hope I can sit here and go, hey, here's the thing that's coming out soon. In like 4 months max.
I would like. 4 months is a good amount.
Yeah. Hopefully that happens. Maybe it happens sooner. We'll see. The other thing that we're working on right now is more material. Shall I just say it?
Just say it.
Okay. If I say this now, I've got to commit to it. So let's say it. We're doing some merch.
We are.
But we're going to do it like properly. So I've spent the last couple of weeks with James and Dave kind of overseeing things that I was working on, looking at having a proper website so that we could have a store and we could sell some merch. But in designing it and getting into like the
nitty-gritty
of it. I kind of came to the conclusion that we don't have the funds really
currently,
because
yeah.
I own a domain, which is fine, but you're paying monthly costs for a website. We need a business tier. You're paying monthly for places to make your stuff. And the thing is, because we don't know how well merch will sell,
yeah,
we don't want to commit overly like that. So what we're going to do instead, here's the plan, is once it is ready, we will have a limited run of a select few items.
Yeah.
And we're just going to do something simple like an Etsy store for the time being, just so that...
So we can assess how it sells, basically.
Yeah. I'm not sure how many items there will be yet. I have a few already made. And we've done a test order.
Yeah.
That looked really good and we really liked. So we know who we're going with, the supplier and stuff. And we actually wore some test items Dragon Meat.
They went down a tree.
Yeah, people loved them. And a lot of people asked where they could get them. So we're hoping that that is a good sign and that you will feel the same way. Here's what I will say. And I hate saying things like this because I think it sounds really beggy. But... if you look at it when it comes out and you think, yeah, I want some of this, this is nice, and I want more things in the future, buy something. If no one buys any merch, we'll take that
it's just off the cards.
People don't want it. Yeah. People don't want it. If you buy some and there's good enough numbers and we go, okay, cool, people want some merch, we can look at doing more limited runs. And then if that does well, maybe some longer running permanent things, and we can look at like having a proper storefront and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
We're basically going to tip our toes in the water of selling merch. And we've never done it before.
No.
So we'll see how it goes.
I mean, there's also things like, if it does go well, yada yada down the line, obviously patrons will probably have a discount code and stuff like that, et cetera, et cetera. So it's worth investing in this moment to tell us that you want it.
And I know that having spoken to a lot of the patrons and a lot of the members on Discord, sometimes it's like, oh, I really want to buy this thing, but I've, you know, paydays at this point and whatever. So the limited run will run for at least 2 months. So there's a couple of paydays in there. That's kind of what I'm thinking for now.
Yeah.
So I think we'll leave it up for a little while.
Exactly. And the funny thing is that obviously some of the people on the server play in my game, so they've seen the merch already, which is quite funny.
Well, I actually have some designs that I've not shared with you yet. So that'll be fun too. Yeah. Interesting. So yeah, I don't know when this is going to launch yet.
No.
It's kind of half baked at the moment. Yeah. But we've got the plan, and now that we're going into the two weekly thing, I can put some more time into it. And I'm that's the thing I'm focusing on at the moment. We have little meetings.
And we do.
We all have different things that we're doing. That's the thing I'm working on. So I'm hoping, hopefully by the end of March, you'll see something. And hopefully you like it. And if you don't, cool. No stress, no worry. We'll move on into a new idea. So there you go. Stay tuned for an actual physical date for when you can expect that dropping. And then we've got something else we're working on, haven't we, Dave?
We've got a few things we are working on.
Do you want to talk about the one?
So, I mean, people who have been part of the Patreon for a while will know that I am currently writing a book, nearly finished writing my book. So what we plan to do is release that on DMs Guild under, well, it'll be the first We Speak Common publishing book, which is exciting.
It's very exciting. There's a few things there that we'll just leave to hang in the air, I think.
Yes.
The first under
the brand. Yes.
Cool.
Which is very, very exciting on many parts.
Do you want to, I mean, I think you've talked before about what your book is, haven't you?
Yeah, we briefly talked about it. It's obviously expanded since we released it on the Patreon, because that was just some of the subclasses and some of the races that is now available in the book.
Yeah. Yes, there's like a sneak peek on the Patreon.
Yeah, on the Patreon. For those who don't know what it is, it's an Eberron player character options book that contains subclasses, races, predominantly monstrous and monstrous themed ones, as well as some backgrounds and items and just various things that, I mean, it doesn't even have to be Eberron game. You could probably use these across any really fantasy setting. It's just,
yeah,
they are themed Eberron, because that's my jam.
Yeah, man. Having seen it, done some proofreading, I can tell you it's good stuff. It's
some good, juicy content.
Yeah, there's some good stuff in there. And if you're not an Eberron boy like Dave, then you can definitely reflavor it.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
So it's worth keeping an eye out for. Once that's out, we will talk about the next stages for what's going on in that realm of media. I don't want to say much more
too
than
much
that,
no.
Other than there will be some original content coming your way, and we'll leave it at that. Is there any other things we need to talk about right now? Is that all of them? Is that it for now?
I think for now that will do.
Yeah. Hopefully that gives you an idea of kind of the direction we're going in and why we're taking these 2 week breaks, you know, not breaks, but making the schedule two bi-weekly, fortnightly.
We have a lot of things on the cards.
More to come. Stay tuned. And as always, the best place to give us feedback is the Discord. And by being a patron and by engaging with things that you want more of.
Yeah.
That's how we know whether to do it again, is if it gets engagement.
Of course, yeah.
There are a lot of things we stopped doing because they just didn't get engagement.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. If you ever wondered, there you go. There you go. That's the announcements. That's what's happening.
That's it. That's the episode. See you later.
No, it's not. No, it's not. It is the first half of the episode, though. Bloody hell. Should we talk about running really, really deadly encounters?
Let's do it.
Okay. I want to say, before we dive into this, that what we're going to talk about is an encounter that isn't impossible.
No.
But is incredibly difficult. So I don't think you should ever run an encounter that's impossible. Everything that you put in front of your players should have a possibility of happening and going their way. But there are, of course, some things that you want to be very, very hard and nearly impossible, much like what you experienced recently. And there are story reasons for that. There are plot reasons. Maybe there's specifically mechanical reasons, like you want your players to go up against a big bad, get beaten, and then come back swinging even stronger later down in the campaign, which is kind of what we're going for with what happened to you. So I just want to say, not impossible. We're going to talk about some mechanics in this that, they sound impossible to beat. They weren't. They were very well. I say very well, I toot my own horn, but they were very meticulously thought out.
You planned that encounter for a long time.
Yeah. Also, what we are going to talk about is the end of arc two of Tomb of Annihilation. We're going to talk about Cradle of the Death God, the fight with the Atropel, and a Serac. Now, if you are playing in Tomb of Annihilation, it's probably best not to listen.
Spoilers for days.
If you're running it, then maybe it'll help. And if you've been listening to the podcast for a while, then hopefully it will give you a little bit of like fun to hear us finally talk about this fight that we've been kind of teasing for a long time. However, next week, we will be releasing a recording of that session, of that entire combat. So if you don't want any spoilers, although Dave's kind of tickled one already. if you don't want any spoilers of how things go and how they end, you want to hear it fresh for the first time, go away from this episode, wait until next week, listen to that, and then come
back. Use this as a commentary afterwards.
We're kind of breaking the order by releasing this first, but we need to get this out of our brains while we're fresh with it. So if you want to go in knowing some of the outcomes and some of the fun things you're going to see, then by all means do. It's a really fun session. It's a really fun combat.
And for everyone who was in the Discord server, saw some sneak peek pictures of our stuff, which was fun.
Yeah, you can actually go and find those on the server right now. So
yeah.
Okay, let's talk about it. So you guys headed into the Cradle of the Death God, the room that holds the Soulmonger, the Atropel, which is the giant undead baby god that's eating the souls.
Corpse baby god,
You fight those things, and then a Serac comes up and says, "Oi, what are you doing? Why are you hurting my baby?"
Yeah, that's exactly what he said.
Then kills you. I'm very proud of what he says.
Yes, he did a good job.
So going in, I knew, so I didn't change the Atropel at all. The Atropel was as written in book. Didn't change the Soulmonger, didn't change like any of the room things like the struts and the wraiths and all that kind of stuff. I did alter a Serac because I read a long time ago someone say like, you wouldn't water down Orcus or Vecna, so why are you watering down a Serac? And I was like, I want him to be really tough. I want him to be really hard. There should be a chance that you beat him, but I want it to feel like you've really fought for your lives.
So I've got the first question I have is, what does the adventure recommend the level you fight a Serac at?
The level you were at, so 10 or 11.
Really? So I know you boosted him a little bit from the basic format.
Yeah. So you go into that room at level 10 or 11, and it kind of assumes you haven't had a rest.
Yeah.
But there are ways for parties to get rests
around that.
You go in, you fight the Atropel, you destroy the Soulmonger, and in the adventure as written, there aren't really any teasers that it's a Serac. I mean, players know that it's a Serac. He's on the cover of the book. But he doesn't really get.
But if you were like a new D&D player playing in Tomb, like you wouldn't know who that was. Like,
yeah, so you kill the Atropel, and then this lich turns up and says, "What the hell? You've just ruined my experiment."
Yeah.
And you're like, "Who is this guy? Oh my god, he's a real big bad." And the idea is that he's meant to be really big, really scary, and
he did
you're
that.
Not gonna survive. Thank you. Thank you. And you're not gonna survive. But if you have any of the trickster gods in you, which you would because you've been through the tomb.
Hopefully.
At the start of your turn, you get 50 temporary hit points every turn.
Which is wild. Yeah.
Boom, 50 hit points. There you go. And you can deal an extra 3d6 psychic damage to every attack to a Serac only.
Yeah.
Now, the Atropel's, you know, tough.
Yeah.
It's not that bad.
No, you can tell you what, I would say, is the room lair actions are the most brutal aspect of that fight.
But they're not even that. They're its legendary actions. There are no dire actions.
Oh, really? So the lava, the intensity heat from the lava.
Oh, no, that's something I added.
That's something you added. So that's what.
That's something I added.
Me.
So, as written, you go in, there's lava everywhere, there's the struts, there's the soulmonger, there's your trouble. You have to drop the soulmonger in the lava or whack it a lot. It has 200 hit points. Every time you deal damage to the struts of the soulmonger, it has these tentacles that can hit you. You can kill them. And of course, the Atropole is attacking you. The Atropole can summon wraiths. That's a recharge ability. So they're also attacking you. Yeah. So it's a tough fight, but it's not going to kill you. I don't think it's going to wipe out a level 10
party. That fight is like a medium difficulty fight if you have a reasonably good party.
Yeah, a party of four players. And maybe an NPC like you had.
Yeah.
It's going to take out some resources. You're not going to break a sweat.
No.
So then when a Serac turns up, you're kind of meant to be maybe at a quarter to half resource.
Yeah, which we probably were at like roughly around half, I would say. Yeah. I know a lot of us, we all knew it was coming as well, because we're all very open about like what was ahead. Mm. And I think a lot of us reserves, like I have saved a lot of stuff for that final bit. Yeah. And unfortunately, I was already pretty fucked by that point because of exhaustion. So that's what screwed me in the end.
So he's a pretty nasty lich. Like, he's a good stat block in the book, but he has some weird spells that you don't really need.
Yeah.
He's not really built for the terrain. He would have to be concentrating on fly.
Yeah.
He has some cool items. He's got Sphere of Annihilation, which is cool. He's got some legendary actions, but not lair actions because it's not his lair.
Yeah.
He's tough, but
yeah.
I didn't think he was tough enough for you lot. Now, I've read about parties dying to him as written. So it does happen.
Yeah.
But you guys have all been playing for a long time.
We're a very experienced party, yeah.
Yeah, you've all been playing together for a long time, so you know how each other works. You've had these characters going for a long time.
Yeah.
Except for you, Dave, unfortunately. sorry. Dying a lot in the game. and so I knew I needed to buff him up. And I knew that 3 years ago when I planned the DM Bible for this campaign. And I've changed him a little bit since then as things have changed and grown.
Yeah, yeah.
So the changes I made are walking into the room, there's the lava. Now, lava deals 10d10 damage when you're in it, or 55 on average. I just did 55 on average because it's easier. But lava, realistically, I mean, in the real world, if you stood in that room, you'd burn to crisp because it'd be so hot. So I had every 5 rounds, you roll a con save. It's a DC 17. For a level of exhaustion.
Yeah.
So it's tough. Then, in my mind, I was like, okay, that's going to play havoc with counterspelling, saving throws, all that kind of stuff. Then you go through the Atropole fight, the Destroying the Soulmonger, a Serac turns up. I made it so that he just has a flying speed. He's a Aeon's old lich. He can just
fly. The badass. Yeah.
He has 2 ninth level spells, which is a boon that players can get. He's been around long enough to achieve something like that. He has this reaction called Insuperable Magic, which allows him to, using his reaction, raise the save DC for his spells if you're trying to counterspell or dispel him by 5. And here to counterspell or dispel his magic, you go against his save DC, not the spell level. So flat to counterspell him, you need a 23 because he's a very powerful mage. He also had a recharge ability, which had a couple of options: recharge on a 5 or 6, and it allowed him to either deal an extra 20 hit points of damage to any creature that was
just targeted off the
by a spell.
Yeah,
yeah. So if he fireballs, he can pick anyone that was hurt by the spell and give them extra 20 hit points.
Which is, I don't think if he didn't have that, I think it would have been a harder fight for him.
Yeah, 100%. We'll get to that. He could give himself some temp HP, which he never used. And there was another one, but I can't remember what it was. He never used it. So I boosted him, and then we got into, and I boosted him thinking he needs to wipe a couple of people in his turn when he arrives, because otherwise Like, they're going to get their 50 HP and it's going to become incredibly hard. I didn't realize how powerful that 50 temp HP every round was going to be.
Because
there's not a lot of stuff that does 50 HP of damage.
Even at a high level, you've got to get lucky to roll that. Yeah.
Yeah, and like, even if you're casting Finger of Death, like, you're not casting that more than a couple of times, you know?
No.
Especially if you're using other spells. So I had to really plan out how he was going to work. That 50 HP is mental.
I think.
And a massive boon to the players.
If he didn't kill Dalen on that first turn, it would have been a different fight. Because 100%. that buff was up, would have been up. Well, Dalen had like three buffs going at the same time. Everyone was getting temp HP and like just crazy stuff was like getting buffed every time. So
I thought going into the game that Ozalie, Dalen, and potentially Braylar would fall to his first turn.
Yeah.
His first turn, he appears, he teleports in, plane shifts in. And I had even written him so that he didn't have all of his spell slots because he's out there doing some stuff.
And I remember you saying that.
He gets
that.
The ping in his brain that's like something's happening back on.
Like an alarm spell's just gone off,
He goes, oh God, okay, let me stop what I'm doing. So he's stopping what he's doing while you're killing the Atropel. Then he plane shifts in as you kill it. He arrives, he casts Time Stop. You instantly get a chance to counterspell him. Luckily, you failed. Luckily for me. He gets to do his little monologue and he casts Delayed Blast Viable.
Through a bead,
And I was hoping, cool, he'll get all of you. But by pure luck, Braylar had positioned himself away from the three of you. So I had to focus it on you three because he needs as many people as he can in it.
Of course,
I think that Fireball dealt 14d6 damage, I think it was.
It was a big boom.
Big boom. That explodes, and then it was Wolfgang's turn, and immediately Wolfgang gets his 50 HP, and I'm like, right, okay, now the fight begins. Now I've got a fight on my hands. Ozalie didn't go down. You went down.
I went down. I was already on level 4 exhaustion, where your HP is halved.
So you were really screwed. Ozalie managed to get into a little position and hide away so that he could pop out and counterspell as the wizard. And that was the next biggest problem for me. But the issue I had was Aserak can at will cast up to third level spells. So he has endless counter spells with his reactions. But the trade-off to his DC raising reaction is that he can't counter spell. So here's how it balances itself out. Aserak casts a big spell that he needs to go off. Ozalie counterspells. Immediately, I then have to make the choices of Serac. Do I use my reaction to counterspell his counterspell? Allowing myself to potentially be counterspelled by someone else.
Which is possible in our party.
Which is possible with your party. Or I allow him the chance to roll. And if he doesn't get what he needs, I raise my DC by 5, which uses my reaction. He can only do that once a round. And it then takes away his counterspell for the rest of round 2. So it is a strong ability, but it's got pretty good payoff, I think, in terms of
absolutely.
The risk-reward. Luckily for me, Ozalie had a couple levels of exhaustion by this point. Because the Atropel has a whale that gives everyone exhaustion as well, which was a nice synergy. And he tried to counterspell a couple of things, and I let him roll, and he just didn't meet the DC. And then the one time he did, I got to use the ability, and everyone was like, wait, what? I'm like, sorry. He's just going to use his reaction to use his insuperable magic. Like, what does that do? And I'm like, it raises the DC by 5.
It's like shield for your saves.
A beautiful ability. If you've got a lich, oh my God, give it to them. So, what else? There was something else I was going to say then. What was it? I don't remember. But anyway, the fight went on and eventually we got Wolfgang down. We got Dalen dead through chain lightning and just extra damage. Poor old Ozalie, legendary action, cast an at will spell, just fireball after fireball after fireball.
Literally getting nuked.
Because he knew he was a wizard. The way I played him was He turns up, he doesn't know who you are, and as soon as you start doing stuff, he starts learning.
Working out from there,
so as soon as Osley starts casting spells, he goes, right, you're gone. Luckily, Dalen dropped so early that he was like, cool, don't have to worry about that kid.
That guy's fucked, it's fine.
There was a moment where Lucanu, who was your NPC, who just like fires arrows.
God.
She was at the back of the room and she fired like four arrows into him and they all missed. And then I was like, cool, at the end of the turn, he's going to use his legendary action. He's going to flick his hand like he's flattening a swine. And the Sphere of Annihilation just comes and just destroys her.
The moment for me was where they were in the lava and like they were getting their temp HP, immediately losing it. And the thought of them like just
burning alive.
Burning alive permanently in this lava, like in a cycle of pain, is horrendous. Like
you wouldn't want to survive that.
No, not a good time at all. You'll be like forced to survive in this lava. Horrendous.
Yeah, they had a bad time. So yeah, there was a lot going on. And then my piece de resistance was I didn't give him Wish as a ninth level spell. So obviously he time stops when he walks into the room. That's his first ninth level. And he saves the ninth level slot as a backup. So in the book, it says if a Serac gets to takes 100 HP points damage, he leaves. He goes, ha 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 ha. Very interesting. Well done. You have won this day, but not the war. And he leaves. And I went, nah, that's boring. You want to fight to the death. Like this guy knows he's going to reform in 1d10 days.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Why would Elytra run away? Yeah.
Like, sure, okay, you'll have to get a new staff, get a new talisman, all that, but...
But he has eternity to do that.
He is eternal, yeah. Who cares? Time is nothing to him. So, and once you start hitting him and start winning, he gets annoyed. And he gets, like, hyper-fixated and wants to prove you wrong.
Yeah.
So, instead, I made it that after he takes 100 hit points of damage, and I think you guys dealt 140 to 180.
Yeah.
He casts his last ninth level spell, which is the invulnerability spell.
Which is wild, which none of us had really heard of until this day.
Yeah, there was a moment where James was like, there isn't a spell that does that. And I could feel James being like, Ben's just made something bullshit so that he can win. And I was like, Xanathar's Guide to Everything page. There's a spell in Xanathar's Guide to Everything. Oh my God, this spell is insane.
Yeah,
it is and I've never used it before. It's a ninth level spell and it requires concentration. Okay, fine. Requires a 500 GP lump of adamantine. Cool, well, there's loads of adamantine in that room.
You had tons of adamantine.
No stress. The struts are made of it. And it makes you invulnerable to all damage.
Yeah, so literally all invincible. Yeah.
No damage. But here's the mental thing, right? Okay, well, we'll counterspell it. Well, his save is very difficult.
Yeah,
and also no one tried to counterspell it because it didn't look like he did anything. He just cast a spell and nothing happened.
Yeah.
And then you're like, okay, well, we'll unload a load of damage on him, and you're all doing your damage, rolling it away. Nothing hits him. Nothing does anything.
The funniest part about it is we discussed it before because we've just been talking about this fight for ages.
Yeah.
And you told me that he had this spell before I went into the fight, and I was dead anyway, so I wasn't making any decisions. You looked at me, and I was just like, yeah, I know what's happened here.
Yeah. Yeah. So after the first round, where I think Braelar used his action surge, Wolfgang did a couple of smites.
Yeah,
like, they
like
let's
smites.
Unload on him, and nothing went through. But here's the thing. You can't make a concentration check if you don't take damage.
Yeah.
So you're hitting him to try and get him to break concentration.
He ain't taking anything.
He's not taking anything, so he's not breaking concentration. It's mental.
It's a nuts spell, yeah. And the most insane part about it, it lasts for 10 minutes.
Yeah, 10 minutes, 100 rounds. Which is beautiful. Beautiful stuff.
Wild.
Perfect for this lich. So we got to the point where eventually Braelar was the last one standing, which I'm impressed by. I thought it would be Wolfgang. And he just like went for him and he said, oh, let me have one go and then you can have me, then I'll give up. And Sarah was like, okay, fine. He said, yeah, but you got to drop that spell. He went, yeah, okay. And then didn't drop it. Just lied. Which was very Sarah. And then he leaves and you all died. And then we'll come back to that in a second. You're all dead.
We are.
Pinning that. Because I said it's not the end of the campaign.
Yeah, we all know there was more to it, so I think that was a good.
Yeah, I had said to you, as long as you complete your mission, which was to destroy the Soulmonger, death isn't the end. So you all knew that if you died, it was okay.
Yeah.
And I was kind of secretly hoping you would die, because what I wanted was you to all experience this fight and go, oh my god, this because guy's mental. We need to prepare for when we fight him again.
The ending of that fight would have been, like, the end of the session would have been insanely different if we survived that fight.
Yes. So let's talk about that after we've talked about the beautiful dice that you can buy on thedicedungeon.com. what dice were you rolling?
I was rolling several dice that day.
I
was rolling the goblin. I think it's called Goblin Blood. Off my head, and then
and you've got the ones I've got, the reliquary ones.
Them ones, they're so beautiful, those dice, and I love the sound they make. Yeah, so they're like my two favorites from Dice Dungeon that I have.
My favorite thing now is that whenever I talk to Ben and Dave at the Dice Dungeon, or we go and see them, not us, we don't talk to ourselves, that'd be weird. We're doing that right now. Whenever I talk to them or I see them at a convention, some of the sets that I own now, they don't do anymore. And I'm like, I feel special. So you should go and have a look at the Dice Dungeon website. Go in and check it out. I don't know, maybe you've got a dungeon master whose birthday is coming up in a couple of days.
Who's that?
Maybe,
I don't know who that is.
Maybe there's a dungeon master who's turning a ripe old age and is realizing that, you know, eventually this mortal form will fail and needs to be cheered up. Maybe he's feeling his bones break and age and thus needs to be reminded that he can live on forever, eternity in Dungeons and Dragons. Buy him a nice set of dice. That would do it. I don't know who that would be. I don't know of any DMs or podcast hosts who are having a birthday soon.
I don't think I have any friends that are...
I don't think he has any friends either. Go and check out thedicedungeon.com, link in the description below. Check out their dice, check out all the different types. There's really lovely, beautiful premium tiers. There's lower tiers of dice. And they've got books, and they've got rolling trays and bags and great stuff. Yeah. And also Ben and Dave are just great people.
They're
not
great
us.
Guys.
We're horrible. Them. They're great.
We're the like evil cousins of the Dicedungeon Ben and Dave.
Yeah, we're the bad.
The dark side.
Yeah. The unhinged ones. Or maybe if you want to go in and listen to the Session 78, Cradle of the Death God, and go, wow, Ben spent a lot of time on writing those set pieces and describing things and really, really putting in a bit of theatre of the mind. How did he do that? Well, he's a very good writer, but also he has inspiration from Describe. I'm really fucking patting my own back tonight, aren't I?
Well done, Ben.
There's a description down below to the website, dscryb.com. That's Describe. They have professional creative writers. I am not that. Doing the Lord's work. They are writing box text for any adventure that you're running, whether it's homebrew or like a module. They have monsters, locations, spells, things you can read as a player. They've got music. They've got maps. They've got, honestly, so much stuff. And
all the things.
A really cool tier where you can a really cool system where you can build out basically like a script. So you can put in the texts that you want, you can put in the music and the ambience that you want, you can link it all in, you can add all of your players in if you're playing online, and then control all the music and click through everything and like read it to them, and
it's really cool.
Beautiful. If you want to go and have a look, links down below. They have a load of stuff on there for free right now, but if you want to get access to everything, all the goodies, they have subscription tiers that you can join. There's different tiers for different levels, different prices if you've, you know, not got a load of spare cash right now. And of course, you can get 10% off every month for the first 2 years that your subscription is active if you use the code COMMON at checkout. That subscription has to remain active. You can't pause it and unpause it.
Yeah.
The discount will go away if you do that. But as long as it stays active, you'll get 10% off every month. For 24 months. That's a long ass time.
That's a significant amount of debt.
And it's over half the time that this campaign we've been playing has been going on. Well, this section of the campaign.
This area of the campaign, yeah.
Side note, James and I went out for a beer last night, which turned into like 3 beers. James and I realized that we should get him drinking more often because it makes him good at helping me build characters and for his campaign. And we looked back through all of our messages. Turns out this campaign, which involves all of the modules we've run in the same world, this world state, been going on for 8 years.
That's wild.
Mental.
That is wild.
Anyway, let's talk about the thing we were going to talk about, but then I sidetracked into a read. What was it? I don't remember.
Which thing? Which part?
Oh, God. Oh, God. What was it? What did I say we'd come back to? Fuck.
Death. We all died.
Was
and
that it?
The end of the... It was the end.
Oh, the I end. Said, yeah, the end, yeah.
I said it'd be significantly different if we didn't die.
Well remembered. Thank you.
You're very welcome.
Yeah, I planned a big set piece for If You All Died.
Yeah.
Because I needed there to be a reward for dying. And also, I wanted to shock you all.
Yeah.
And I'd casually said to James a few months ago, thank God Braylar's made it to the end of the room because he's my get out of jail free card. They're the end of the tomb. Because if he hadn't, like, no one would come looking for you if you died. No. And he was like, what do you mean? I was like, you'll see. So it was possible for you to beat Aserak.
Yeah.
Wesley could beat his... You could counterspell it. Yeah, it was just very hard.
It was possible, yeah.
And it was just unlikely. And I'd planned it that way. So I didn't write out a set piece for you winning because I knew that I could do that. I could play that out. There is a portal in the
There is.
And there was a moment where I kind of had to let everyone peek behind the curtains because James was the last one surviving and he ran towards the portal and it was just outside of his speed distance. And I looked at him and I went, maybe, I was like, James, I know what you're thinking. And like, you can do it if you want to, but maybe don't do that. And he was like, what? I was like, maybe don't leave all of your friends' dead bodies in this room and just go on your own. Maybe don't do that. And he was like, but I want to survive. I was like, yeah, but maybe for the sake of the campaign, don't do that. Like I had to just kind of, you'll hear it if you listen to the session. I had to just kind of let him peek behind the curtain because I needed to stay in the room. Because if Braylar had gone through the portal, if any of you
had. Would have been royally scuppered, yeah.
That would have been it. The characters that died in the tomb would remain dead. I needed you either to all die or all survive.
Yeah.
So you're all kind of, and in hindsight, maybe that's something I could have changed. Maybe I could have cancelled the portal out or something. Maybe I should have done something like that to make it impossible to leave.
I mean, but you weren't expecting it to go the way it did, so.
Yeah. So that's the only thing I think I'd change.
You were and you weren't because there were a lot of weird things that happened, like Braylov climbing around the place like some sort of spider.
So yeah, that's maybe the one thing I would change. But apart from that, it all went really well, I think. So I built out this set piece and I'd said to you, if you kill the soulmonger, if you destroy the soulmonger, if you complete the mission, you've succeeded and death isn't the end because you can then be resurrected because the soulmonger actually stops you from being resurrected. If you don't do that, that's the end of the campaign, Soz.
Yeah.
Like, you die, you die.
Which is wild, yeah.
But that's what's at risk, right? When you play D&D, that you can TPK at any moment. So I was like, right, okay, well, what's a long time ago, I was like, what's my revival plan? And it was that Braylar being...
An heir to a throne, basically.
Yeah, he's part of Mithril Hall, would eventually be sought after. They'd be like, well, we need to go and get our prince. Like, come on. Especially because the queen died due to all of this cursing stuff.
Yeah.
But then I thought, well, how's that going to work? Because then the dwarves aren't going to just send them out straight away.
No. Because it would take a while to, like, this is what I was thinking. So when you told me the time frame that had passed, I was like, fucking hell, that's a long time. But also I was thinking, like, well, actually, they'd be like waiting for you to turn up again. And then that'd be like a year, probably roughly, to travel back all this time or like 6 months. And then they'd be like, right, fuck. Well, then we need to find them. Then it'd be finding the fucking lost city, going through all the bullshit to get to you. Like, it's a lot. Right. Yeah. Yeah.
So in the set piece where you die, I was like, right, I need to give you we did the mission. So you get like kind of the film view of people celebrating and like, oh my God. And there's a line in there about how somewhere in the world, adventurer's battle gets a little bit easier. And that's like a shout out to the other.
It was nice. Yeah. Affected.
And then what happens is Braylar starts hearing these voices. And they're muffled voices, and his eyes open, he's a bit blurred, and he sees these dwarves. And in the thing that I read out, the box text, as it were, he looks around and he sees the decaying corpses of you guys.
Yeah.
Actually, I could probably tell you exactly what it says. I've got it here somewhere.
I have what before we do that.
Yeah,
I have one question I just thought of.
Oh, go on.
How have you and James planned for the eventuality if Tiamat survives?
Yeah. So this is the thing. I messaged James before the session. I said, "There's something that might happen in the game." Yeah. And if it does, it's going to change everything and we're going to have a conversation. And he was like, oh, there's something like that in my campaign. And I was like, yeah, yeah. Sure. And he was like, okay. And then we sat down and we talked about it. So I'll get to that in a sec. So
yeah, okay.
Basically, there's hints in the text as to how much time has passed. So it's, here you go, I've got it here. It's, all around the chamber, your friend's corpses lay decomposing, rotting, their skin hanging off their bones, the dried blood vessels and maggots painting them with disgusting colours, kaleidoscopes of death. So you wouldn't have maggots and flesh decaying if it had been not long at all.
Yeah.
He gets revived, he kind of tries to speak, and the dwarf stops him and says, no, it's going to be really hard for you. He looks around and he says, don't worry, we're going to get your friends up as well, but we have to be careful and be precise when this much time has passed.
Yeah.
And the last words are, Braelar looks into this dwarf's old wise eyes and manages to croak out two words, you know, how long? And he looks at him with sadness and says, 5 years. 5 years have passed since you died.
Crazy.
Crazy. So basically, Death Curse ends. And the governments go, right, okay, quick, we need to revive the important people that we need back to help us stop Tiamat and anything else that's happening.
Yeah.
They have a list. You guys, way at the bottom of that list. They start reviving the important people and a few maybe dead adventurers to help the fight. The fight with Tiamat happens, and when we play on Sunday, because we're going to play the next session at the end of the week, you will basically be able to talk to dwarves and find out what's happened over the last 5 years. And they'll say, yeah, well, we're sorry it took so long, but, you know, all the important people were revived to help with the incursion of the Dragon Queen. And you'll go, oh my God, yeah, what happened? And you'll go, it was tough. It was a big fight. We lost many people. It's not been an easy time. Okay, so did she win?
Still vague, yeah.
Did she lose? Don't worry about that. There's more pressing matters at hand. We then had the invasions of the Red Wizards. Wait, but hang on. In your current game, you're fighting to stop that invasion. So I said to James...
Such a head fuck.
I said to James, we're going to assume that no matter what happens, something's going to happen with the Red Wizards. Some form of invasion happens, and it's whether what we do in James's game results in them being winning or losing.
Weakened, yeah, basically, yeah.
So if we fail, the Red Wizards will probably win. And if we succeed, they won't win. So they'll go, the Red Wizards invaded and we had, you know, when we were weakened and our defenses were down and we had to fight them.
Yeah.
It's like, oh my God, the Red Wizards. So what happened? Are they in charge? Look, it was a bloody massacre and it's been a nightmare, but there's something even worse going on. You'd be like, wait, what? So you're like, oh my God, catching up on this stuff. So it's just going to fly you by basically and be really vague. Then they'll say, yeah, so once we dealt with those two incursions, then we had to start rebuilding. All of the governments moved out of a wartime strategy and into peacetime and started, you know, rebuilding their walls, rebuilding their cities. Mm-hmm. There were refugees everywhere. We started taxing everyone so that we could pay for things. And it took a long time, 3 years. At the end of those 3 years, they go, okay, we need to start looking out into the universe again and seeing what's happening, because we've just spent 5 years so focused on us and our material
rebuilding. Yeah.
And they start, you know, putting out feelers and seeing what's going on. And that's when the hook comes in for the third arc, which is these strange black pools of darkness have been appearing in places. Now Wolfgang's experienced one of these before, but more of them have started cropping up.
Right.
All around the place. And they have this distinct dark negative energy to them, akin to the negative energy plane. And the only thing that we can discern about them is that there's a signature in them. Now, whenever a wizard casts a spell within the weave, they manipulate it and they leave a kind of force in it.
Yeah.
Most wizards are so unknown that even if you knew what kind of signs you were looking for, you wouldn't know whose signature was in the spells. But there are some wizards who are so infamous that we know their calling cards.
Yeah.
We know a Serac's upside down triangle with a line in it. We know his symbol across multiple worlds, and it's baked within these dark pools. He's doing something. He's accelerated plans that he had because you didn't stop him.
Yeah.
And we need someone to go and fight him and stop him. And you are the only people in the last 100, 200, 300 years to have fought him. You have the most up-to-date knowledge of what he's like and what he's capable of. We need you. So we had to come and get you.
Yeah.
But we didn't know where the tomb was. First of all, we had to find some people. So the dwarves volunteered because they've got less red tape to cut through. We've got to get to Chult. Fine. You get to Chult and the gauntlet are basically in charge now. After
Okay.
So you have to get through all of that bureaucratic
nonsense. That's fucking wild that they're now in charge. Okay.
Do you want to know who's leading it? Do you want that little spoiler?
Oh, no. I don't think I do, actually. I think keep that.
They go, shit, we need to get through all of that. Then we need to find Omu. Well, there's only one person who's made it. Well, there's two people who've made it out of Omu.
Yeah. Nevin. And Thingy,
So Nevin tells them where to go. They find Omu. Then they've got to get into the tomb and get down the tomb.
Yeah.
Then they've got to get to you and revive you. And now here you are. So 5 years has gone past, basically. And then they're going to say, look, we've cleared out the rest of the tomb. We've been everywhere. The only places we haven't been are beyond that misty gate.
Mm-hmm.
Go and have a look. Go and see what's going on there. And then we'll get topside and we'll work out what your next steps are. But the goal is, Serac's still doing shit. Find out where he is and go and stop to it.
Yeah.
But there are some subplots coming in between that, of course, because we've got to get you from level 11 to 20.
Oh, boy. I'm excited. Well, we are level 12.
Level 12 now. I reckon we've got another 80 sessions in us.
Okay, nice.
And then we'll be done.
Exciting.
So another 3 years.
Then Odyssey.
then Odyssey.
Which I'm very excited. I'm very excited for Odyssey. Yeah.
Can't even think about that right now. But yeah, so there you go. That's everything that's the behind
the
scenes.
You know what? The fun thing was that when I, after I'd slept, and woken up the next day, and I was like, I messaged you like at fucking 6 in the morning. I was like,
yeah.
Holy shit, Ben. Dalen's cured.
Yeah, Dalen's no longer a werewolf.
Yeah.
Yeah, because he's being brought back to life. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Braylar's no longer a zombie.
Yeah.
Has his soul back. Wesley asked me a really interesting question. He was like, and this might not mean anything to listeners if you haven't heard a lot of our conversations about these characters, but he was like, what would have happened if Nevin was down there? Because he's not really Nevin.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, it's a mixed bag because Nevin's basically a clone using someone else's soul to live.
Yeah, yeah.
But his real body is buried somewhere in the jungle. Now, if real body Nevin had been brought back to life and it would have pulled Nevin's soul to it. So then if copy Nevin died, he wouldn't be able to be resurrected. But because
Jesus Christ.
Real body Nevin is dead, if fake copy of Nevin gets resurrected, it will pull Nevin's real soul.
Into the copy,
yeah.
Right.
So...
What a wild ride.
What a wild ride, man. What a convoluted campaign
because
we had.
Nevin was originally Wes's choice to go into the tomb.
Yeah,
as
and he
well.
Changed his mind last minute. Wolfgang made him change his mind. And then he got feeble-minded.
Yeah, they got absolutely wrenched. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean... We've kind of just started talking about the session and stopped talking about like the whole making sessions, making bosses unbeatable, but it's possible. And it takes, I think it was one of the hardest combats I've ever prepped.
Yeah.
Because I wanted it to be, as I said, possible, but difficult.
Yeah. I think talking through it and what we've discussed so far, I think the main thing, and I briefly mentioned this to you the other day as well, I think the main thing you need in these situations is an escape plan to both sides. So if they succeed, great.
Yeah.
If they don't succeed and they all die, you need to go, well, actually, there's a reason for this.
Yeah, like you need that deus ex machina
kind of thing. Exactly.
And that is kind of cringy in a way. Like people don't want that thing to come in. But in D&D particularly, you look through the old books and things, heroes are brought back to life a lot.
Yeah,
and that's what made this adventure interesting, is the fact that you couldn't use resurrection magic.
Yeah, exactly.
And the fact that the death curse has ended now means that your death saves are back in at being 10s, not 15s.
Which is nice.
We were on meat grinder mode. Yeah.
Yeah.
So suddenly this campaign's going to get a little bit more survivable.
Yeah.
unless I have anything to say about it. So, you know, and now we've got this interesting thing where you've all got your subplots. And then I've got two subplots and then the main plot. So you've got a lot of things to do. So you've got enough to get you to level 20.
The funniest part about it is Dalen's subplot is the most quickly and easy to finish immediately straight away.
Yeah. But he's gone through a lot of changes now. So it's like, cool. What does he look like?
Yeah.
And what are his mission? Like, what does he care about after he's done his thing?
Yeah.
That'll be really interesting.
He's going to look drastically, well, not like drastically, but the subtle differences will be obvious in a sense. I don't know if that doesn't make sense in some ways, but he will look different now.
Yeah, which is cool. I get what you're saying. There's going to be a lot of little things like that, and I'm really excited to see how the party evolves and changes. But yeah, and I think with that bringing everyone back to life, you need to make it, there needs to be a consequence. So 5 years, that's the consequence, which is also just a cool story thing. But
I think there's also, so for another example, and you've done this in your game and I've done it recently in mine, is bringing a character back, but as a reborn, and like you have that, like that other aspect of it.
Yeah. And we haven't talked about the lingering madnesses of being dead for 5 years and being pulled back.
Yeah.
None of you are going to remember your afterlives either.
No,
which is... there will be traces of them in your mind, which is almost so tragic because after...
Especially for like the holy-based people in the body, like Wolfgang and Dalen and Osley, they're going to be like, well, fuck.
Yeah. Osley has had two very important items stolen from him.
Yeah.
So that will be interesting to see, one that's linked to his backstory, one that isn't. And it's like, who stole them? Like, and it's nice seeing you guys talk in the chat because I can see you guys already going,
thinking about it.
Okay, God, well, those people probably came down and stole this and this, but why?
Which is
and
God, not good.
So there's, you're already picking up the plot hooks, which is really satisfying for me. And we're entering that part of the campaign now where it just, everything opens up.
And which is super fun.
I always can't plan anything because I need to see.
Yeah, I mean, the good thing is, I think the tomb, we've spoken about this before, the tomb was doing its job in pissing off the party members.
Yeah,
pissing off each other in a good way. It was doing what it's meant to do, which was causing inter-party conflict. And I think everyone's looking forward to going back and going into the real world again, out of a confined space. I think that's something that everyone is definitely looking forward to.
Yeah. I mean, Ray mentioned to me the other day, he was like, oh, it'd be interesting to Wolfgang's going to go back to the Sword Coast to change man. And I was like, yeah, I don't think Wolfgang's going to want to go back there just yet. You guys aren't quite done with Chult.
Yeah, and Chult, yeah.
There's some things that need to be sorted.
There's a lot of shit that, I mean, like even the party didn't go to prior as well. There's shit going on all over the place, yeah.
Well, everything's changed now as well.
Yeah,
like
exactly.
If anything, I've thrown myself a spanner in the works because anything that's pre-written, I need to
alter,
now move on 5 years, you know?
Yeah.
What does that look like 5 years later?
Super fun.
Really fun. Really, really fun. And for the last 8 years, we've been playing in 1492 and now you're playing in 1497. So
yeah, it's weird that you, like again, it's going to be weird for me to be in like some sort of weird time warp between your game now and James's game.
Yeah, and in James's game, the death curse is still happening because
TOA
is a few months ahead of Tyranny. And we did that purposefully so that there can be a cool moment when the death curse lifts in Tyranny. It's up to James to do that.
There's a lot of interesting changes going on because you've got your new character coming into Tyranny as well, which is going to be exciting.
Yeah. Oh, you don't even know. He's been fleshed out now.
Good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. He's got no magic items at level 16.
Oh dear.
It's going to be fun. It's going to be really, really fun. But we'll talk about that another time. Hopefully this has been interesting. And
we can do it on a tap and talk. We'll do it on a tap and talk.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. We'll do a full deep dive. Hopefully it's been interesting. Hopefully there's been like something to take away from this and just kind of hear it out. And hopefully if you've listened because you want to hear all the secrets before you hear the session, you're excited to listen to it next week when it releases. It will either drop on Tuesday or Thursday.
Are we doing, is it just we'll audio see. We're doing?
So it will be audio for everybody on the podcast feed. Patreon members will be able to see the video version.
Very nice. Yeah,
of the lovely. Session. That will be uploaded as well. That's the only piece I haven't edited yet. So we're probably looking
exciting,
at next
exciting.
Thursday over next Tuesday, but we'll get to that. But yeah, if you want to come and chat and talk and get involved with the conversations, then head over to the We Speak Common Discord server.
See our pictures.
Oh yeah. Sorry. We haven't talked about that. Dave did an incredible job on all the minis. The map, the minis, I can't even describe to you how beautiful they were. There are a few pictures on the common room, and when I've got 5 minutes, I'll post all of them into our minis section. They are incredible. I've told you before, but you blew out the water. And of course,
as one Reddit user said, this is the best version of this map I've ever seen. And I'll take that.
you're gonna take that to your grave.
I actually am.
Actually, right before we started recording, someone else commented on it.
Yeah.
Is it worth reading?
Do it.
Very cool. I posted mine yesterday. I like how you guys made the room bigger. I built mine to scale and it seemed really tiny.
Tiny, I saw it, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, go and look at those on the server, get involved in the conversation, link down below. And of course, the best way to support us is the Patreon. And again, as ever, new things happening, new things coming. We hope you look forward to them. We certainly do. That's it.
Yes.
I need a drink and to go and deliver some managed democracy on Helldivers 2.
Thanks for your time.
Thanks, mate. I'm needed back on the war front. See you later.
I'm needed on the front lines.
Thanks for listening to the We Speak Common podcast network. If you enjoyed the show, be sure to leave a review on your platform of choice and share us with a friend or D&D group near you. If you'd like to directly support the network and the production of new shows like the one you heard today, head to the description of this episode or our social media pages for a link to our Patreon page. You can connect with the show on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at We Speak Common. The network theme is Street Dancing by Timecrawler 82 and is held under a Creative Commons 4.0 license. You can find it on the Free Music Archive.